Glow concluded this past Wednesday as we had our year-end party, and so just to thank you, our second annual year at Glow at the middle school, or at the elementary school rather, just want to thank everyone who supported a child throughout this, sponsored a child throughout this, prayed for a child throughout this, volunteered to help serve alongside a child throughout this as well. Just thank you overwhelmingly to the congregation's support for that program. With that said, we're actually going to skip over this next song. I had told you last week that this might be the week to show up because you might get down early. That was false. My wife, Julie, made me very much proud as we got on at 10:15 of the first service, and maybe the same will be expected for this service as well, and so we're going to give Julie some more time. This is her first time preaching. She's done plenty of public speaking in her day, and yet preaching is a different beast in that realm in regards there. And so this is her first time preaching, and in addition to that, she's doing it 36 weeks pregnant, which I have never done before. And so that makes it all the more impressive. There's some nerves that go along with the first time preaching as well. And so please make Julie feel welcome as she comes forward to bring this morning's word and worship with us here today.
All right, thank you. Yes, like he said, before we even get started, I am definitely not Justin, and you will be able to tell that very shortly. I've never preached before. This morning, I guess I did. So, but today is a good day because God uses even ordinary people like us to bring his word to you. One thing he already mentioned, I am hugely pregnant, right? And I am 36 weeks pregnant. So if you see me uncomfortable up here, it's because I probably am in more than one way. But Jessamine would totally agree that I am hugely pregnant. Okay? Well, earlier on in our pregnancy, I'm sitting in my room. She comes up, "Mommy, why is your belly growing?" And I was like, "Honey, there's a baby in here. Okay, there's a baby in mommy's belly, and it's making it grow." And she was just so excited. And I turn around, and I pick up a piece of clothing, and I can feel her little eyes staring at me. And that same excited voice, I hear, "Mommy, your butt's getting bigger for baby, too." Like, yes, Jessamine, you're right. But I need that reminder. It's good that it's growing, because if you did not remember, earlier in this pregnancy, we had a lot of issues, a lot of bleeding issues for months. The doctor saying, it's going to be a miscarriage, okay? It's going to happen. But you guys have come alongside and you have prayed. And I am so thankful. This is the time I wanted to make sure I told you thank you for praying for us. God is good. God is good whether or not this baby lived or not, right? He loves this baby more than us. And that is the lesson that we have been learning through this process, and it's been good. So please continue to pray for us for the next 3 to 4 weeks, because sometimes I forget that this actually is coming out of me. So please continue to pray for us in that area. Also, people ask me this question, so I'll just answer it now while I'm up here. They always ask, "How many kids are you having?" And I know they're thinking, "Oh, 4's a lot, Julie." And I'm like, you just need to go to Justin, because really, I think he takes the Bible very seriously when it says, "Be fruitful and multiply," okay? I think that's his life verse. I don't think so. Not just kidding. But seriously, I think it might be. I'm good with 4 though. But we'll go, and we're excited again for that journey that God has for us. Some of you do not know me, and you can look at the picture. This sermon is not about my kids, but it is titled Family Discipleship, and I just want you to know where we're going, where we're coming from. Our first son is Jeremiah. He is 6 years old. He loves anything dealing with sports. A lot of you know that, right? Hockey, right? Especially football, baseball, anything. You want to talk to him? Go talk sports. Jessamine, she is our 4-year-old. She loves princesses, anything and everything with a Disney princess. And then there is Jacob. He loves sports and princesses, so you might know why. And he loves to eat, so food is definitely Jacob's thing. So, and then our 4th one, we don't know if it's a boy or a girl, and we're excited about that. All right, now let's pray. Let's start off with prayer. Lord, we just thank you again for this opportunity to get to preach your word, and we just pray that you help us focus. focus on what you're saying to us. Help us to wipe away that to-do list of what's next and any distraction in our minds, but to truly just focus on you. And I pray that you are speaking specifically to everyone's hearts in this room today. You're doing the speaking, not me. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you have an orange sheet. If you please can get that out, even if you never fill it out, I don't care, get it out, because you're going to look at this sometimes more than me. So that's beautiful. So get this out, and I want you to look all the way at the bottom where it says summary. I am a person, when I go into a sermon, I want to know, okay, what's the main point? Where are we going with this? That's just how my brain thinks. So right now in that summary, I'm telling you at the bottom what we're really talking about today. One, to love God and keep him number one in our life. If you were asked to preach up here, what would you preach on? These are two things that I am passionate about. Loving God, having a relationship with him, not a religion. So this is the first point. So if you get nothing, love God, keep him number one in your life, and we're going to talk about that. Two, be intentional about bringing faith into your home, okay? Does it matter if you have kids or not? This is being intentional about bringing it into your home, okay? So it just doesn't stop on Sundays, because oftentimes what we do in our life is we put boxes up in our life. So here's my social box where I hang out with my friends. Here's, for kids, an education box. This is where they go to school. Here's my athletic box. This is where I go and do my sports. Here's my artistic box, where I go and do drama or plays. Here's my church box. Here's my home box. What I would say is that we need to erase that church box, and we need to write the word Jesus in the middle, and we're going to take that, and we're going to smear him. I don't like we can smear Jesus, but smear him all over every single box. So he's everywhere. So Jesus is with me when I'm going to my baseball practice. Jesus is with me when I go social hour with my friends. Okay, whatever it is, he is there. And I use the example for the last group. Say your son or whoever, grandson, is on playing basketball and he tore his ACL. All right? Or he's burned out from the sport. Okay, that box is taken away, but his identity isn't taken away. His purpose isn't, because who was there with him? Jesus. He can get something, another box to fill in, because Jesus is with us wherever we go. We live for him, and that is the goal for this sermon, is bringing our faith with us wherever we go, not just into a church. You can't put Jesus in a box, right? Okay. So you got those summaries. So if I even went into labor right now, it's fine. You already got those 2 points. You got it. But let's go in a little deeper. Now we can move forward. This is a statistic that I just want you guys to be aware of. It's 1 out of 168. 168 hours in a week. And what happens is we get kids, say, in Wiggly Worship for 1 hour of the week. And what this is showing us is, wait a second, we can't be the person who's spiritually forming the kids' lives. I can't do it. It's up to the parents or grandparent, okay? Or if it's your niece or your nephew, or we're all a family. So don't tune me out that it's family discipleship. My kids are out of the house. This isn't happening. No, it applies to every single person in this room today. So you can think of your situation of how this looks like for your family, or whether or not, you know what, there's kids who need adopted by you, spiritually adopted to come over you, and you're in charge of praying for them and their entire family, okay? So if you were like, I absolutely have no kids, well, guess what? There's kids in this church that need you, okay? So no matter what, this will apply to you. Next, what I'm saying is parents, grandparents, however it may look, are the primary disciple maker of kids. Our job as a church family is to come alongside of those people, aside of those kids and those parents, to help them, equip them, help them to bring this into their home, because we realize we only have a little bit of time with them. So what happens in the home is really what's going to matter. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. No one's perfect. That's not it at all. But we're just encouraging, hey, we don't have this church box. it goes into our home as well. All right, before I guess we go on, let's open up our Bible, because a sermon can't be a sermon if you're not preaching from the Bible. So open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to be looking in verses 4 through 7 today, and I would encourage you, bring your own Bible to church. I'm not going to look next week if you bring your own Bible, but I encourage you to do that because you know what? Kids come and Wiggly Worship, and they bring their own Bible, right? 4th through 6th graders, we're giving them Bibles, and they bring their Bibles. I don't want to stop at 7th grade that they're not bringing their Bibles to church, right? Not saying the pew Bibles are bad. I'm just saying, hey, you can have these. You can write in it. You can take notes. You can keep it, and kids see that. They see that you're bringing your Bible too. So I encourage you, don't be afraid to bring your own Bible as well into church. Let's start reading. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's one God. That's it. We serve him. Okay, there is one God, even though the world wants to tell you otherwise, there is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. I'm going to stop there first. The first main point, before we can disciple kids, your grandkids, anyone, because this applies to anyone. Someone who's maybe a little younger than you that you're coming alongside of. In order to disciple someone, this is what this verse is saying, what God is saying. You need to love God with all your heart. All of your heart. And it might sound complex or difficult, but it really isn't, because you know what God could have said? He could have said, you need to be perfect. You need to be perfect in order to tell other people about me. You need to serve at this place or this place, and then you can go tell people about me. All right? No, he's saying, love me. Love me. That's what he wants. He wants your love, and he wants you to keep him number one. All right? So we know it's not going to work out if I love Justin more than God. I'm going to be disappointed. I can't love my kids more than God. I'm going to be disappointed. I can't love my job more than God. I'm going to be disappointed. The first and foremost is, if we keep God the center of our life and keep him number one, everything else is going to fall back into place. Whether you're going through good times, bad times, health issues, relationship issues, whatever it is, if we can still keep God number one in our life and depend on him instead of ourselves, then things will fall into place. So my question for you is, where are you in your walk with God? Or what's holding you back for truly loving? Because it's like God is standing there and he's saying, I want to give you all of this, all of my love. I want to give you all of it, and I love you. But sometimes we aren't receiving it, right? He's pursuing you all the time. But sometimes we just aren't receiving that love from him. Okay, because there's something, maybe it's a bitterness that's stopping us. Maybe it's control. I want to control the way I live my life. And God's a little bit into it. Or there's tons, there's fears, there's anxieties that are just pushing God away. And he's saying, give me your problems. You need to surrender your life to me. Give me your problems. Easier said than done, right? But that's what he's saying. Give me your problems. And then I will take care of you. Then you can fully trust him and love him more. That's what we're called to do. Love him more. So right now, I want you to think of where you are in your walk with God. I know it's a process. It's a lifelong process. It doesn't matter what your age is. It's always going to change. But I want you to think of this, of where you are in your walk with God as of today. All right? So let's go to the first one. There's four different categories, and there are tons of different categories that we could do. And I'm even adding a fifth one, but I didn't write it down because it applies to everyone. Broken. Every single one of us in here, this is the extra B that I'm talking about before this B, is broken. You are broken. God knows you are a mess. He knows you are a sinner and that you need him. That applies to everyone. So please don't think that when I'm talking about discipling other people that you have to be perfect. God never says that. He knows he knows your specific situation that you're dealing with right now. You are broken in your walk with God. This one, brand new. All right. Maybe you're brand new in this walk with God. Maybe you're just starting to come to church or coming back to church. Or maybe you've been here for a long time, but you're still brand new. You don't quite understand, how do I read these scriptures at home? How do I pray at home? What I would say to you, because I'm going to have you look at what's my next step, all right? What's my next step in my walk with God? How I can love him more. I would say for your next step with God would be, if you're brand new or you feel brand new, it's finding a mentor. Telling Justin, you know what, I would like someone to mentor me. Doesn't mean it's Justin, but he might hook you up with someone, a guy with a guy, a girl with a girl, and you can see that I put a coffee shop up there. What it means is, go with your mentor once a month. I'm going to meet with you, and we're going to go, and we're just going to have this relaxed, laid-back time of saying, hey, this is how I go read the scripture. This is how I pray. So someone's coming alongside of you, and because you're brand new and you just don't know where to start, and you're just meeting, that's it. Because that's the next step for you. That's the next step of how you can fall more in love with God. And that's our goal. So maybe that applies to you. Let's see, maybe the next category does. Busy. I know everyone in here is busy in some way. We fill our lives with things. We're busy. And I'm not meaning it by that. We all are busy. But what I'm saying when I talk about this busy is that you're too busy to love God. You're too busy. So I'm not saying take away different activities in your life. No, not at all. But I'm saying, are you too busy to even think about God, to pursue God at all? So if maybe that is you. And I want to point you to this verse. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow. Your kids aren't guaranteed. Your grandkids, anyone in your life is not guaranteed to live tomorrow. And sometimes it just helps put it in perspective, but we say we are too busy that we're not fully living because we're just going on to the next thing. And what's next in our life? What's next? What keeps me busy? And I would just suggest maybe your next step is reprioritizing your schedule. Doesn't mean that you're taking things out. I'm not saying that. Maybe that applies to you, but prioritizing the time that you have, that you do have that time to love God throughout the day. Next, are you bored? Are you bored in your relationship with God? You love God. You do. But you don't, like, love God, okay? So right now, maybe that's your walk. That's where you are. You do love God. You know you've accepted him into your life, and he is with you, and you love him. But things aren't moving along. I would point you to this scripture. So if this applies to you for bored, write this scripture verse down, this passage. Ezekiel 37:1-9. This is when God is talking to Ezekiel, and he's taking him to this valley of dry bones. And he's saying, can these bones live? Only you know that, God. Well, in the end, God ends up saying, yes, I'm going to breathe life into you so that you may live again. All right? So it's all about spiritually being spiritually dead and God awakening you and giving you the abundant life that you so desire and need. Okay? So I would point you to that scripture to look at this week. Oops, all right. This verse is as well. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I pray scripture over people every year, and specific verses over family, over friends, and this verse is the one that I'm praying specifically over me. I pray this verse every single day. And I went to a conference a couple weeks ago, and they reminded me of something. Yes, when you accepted Jesus into your life, he is there. You are saved. But you need to remember, he left you a gift of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we forget that. And that is a continual asking to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's something I wasn't doing, right? Every day, we need to seek out and we need to ask, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. All day, every day. It's not just a one and done. Lord, fill me with your Spirit so I may live and I may pour out the life that you have for me. okay? So that's something, maybe that's your next step. If you are bored, asking for the Spirit. This is something that I do, okay? I'm a hands-on person and I forget things, right? So I have this sponge every morning. I take it out and it's a dry sponge. And I look at it and I said, God, I do not want to live a spiritually dry life. I don't. And it just reminds me, I do not. So then I take out a container, like this. It is the exact sour cream container. And there's a sponge in here with water. And I just soak it up and I say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. So that I can pour out to people and live a life worth living. I don't want to be spiritually dead. So I do this every single day in the morning lately because I just need that reminder. I need that physical reminder. I don't want to be spiritually dead. That's not why we're here. We're here for such a short amount of time. And don't think that everything's picture perfect after this, that things won't always feel bored, like our faith isn't built on emotions. I know that. But that's just a reminder that I do. So maybe if this category is you, that you're bored, maybe you need to remember, hey, I need to be filled with the Spirit, and I need to ask him to fill me every single day. Next is excited. I did not make an error here. I was being cute because if you see in your message outline, all of these start with the letter B, and Justin always is the alliteration king, right? And he always does that. So I just did it to make fun of him, sort of. This word really is excited. Are you excited right now in your walk with God? Are you passionate about him? Not perfect, but you're on fire. You're seeking him. That's where you're at. That's where you're at, and that's good. I would say for your next step, continue doing what you're doing, but then you become a mentor, and you go help those people who are brand new or who might need more assistance, just cultivating that love, stirring their affection to love God. Okay, that would be my advice for you. So what is your next step? Write it down. What is that next step? If you remember, if you are brand new, you're going to go get some coffee with someone and sit down. Are you busy? Maybe you're going to reprioritize your schedule. Are you bored? Maybe you need to start asking God to fill you with the Spirit. And I'm not going to go on a long tangent on the Holy Spirit. If you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, come to Wiggly Worship in the month of May. We're talking all about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. And then if you are excited, be a mentor. Maybe that's your next step to love God. Remember, this isn't a chore. This is, I want to love God more. Okay, he's the only one who can fill my heart with all these lives disappointed, because we live on a broken world, don't we? And that's what we're teaching kids back there and here. We don't live for this world. We aren't. We're looking up and we're living for the world that's yet to come. And sometimes the cares of the world want to sweep us away from that. And this is just another way of, how can I be intentional about loving God more? All right, next is, it says, take it to your home. So this is another thing that I talked about too in the last service, being intentional about bringing faith into your home. Again, this doesn't matter if you have kids or grandkids or nieces or nephew. It's about you individually. Are you taking this faith that you have, the love of God, into your home, or is it only on Sunday? So I'm going to read verse 7, because remember, this is also coming because I'm a Christian ed director. So a lot of this is to helping parents or grandparents, any kid that in your life. Let's read verse 7. Impress them on your children. Remember what we're impressing them? To love God and that there is one God only. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So, do we ever sit at home? Do we ever drive places? Do we ever go to bed at night? Do we ever wake up in the morning? God isn't adding another program into our life. He is saying, as you go, because we know you're busy, but as you go, are you discipling someone, even if it's not a kid or not? As you go, living life with that person, pointing them to God. That's what our goal is, and it's being just intentional about doing that. So with kids, maybe in mind, what we try to do is we encourage you to find moments. You're not adding more to your busy schedule. It's as you're doing what you're already doing, but being intentional. That's the key word. Are you being intentional about bringing Jesus into your kids, your grandkids' lives, whoever it is. That's the finding the moments. And this happens, I guarantee you, every single day. Anytime that, say, you only see your grandkid once a month, there's an opportunity there that day that you can be intentional to point it to Jesus. So just having that conversation in the home. And this can be any age, whether they're 0 to 40. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you can always point them back to God. Well, our little boy, Jacob, he walks around our house and he's talking about Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying this kid's perfect at all by any means, but he's hearing. What he's hearing is what he's saying. Now, don't get me wrong again. I'm not saying my kids talk about God all the time. No, Jeremiah, I asked him, hey, what should I preach on? Hockey. I'm going to preach on hockey. Okay, yeah, your kids are going to love everything, and that's good. They need to. Have fun, enjoy life. But those conversations, we don't want it to be separate. We don't have two separate lives. It's spread wherever we go. All right, this is a quick one. Thought I cooked it. Nope, there we go. Faith talks. This is just another way. So maybe your grandparent in here, maybe your parent in here, other than just living life and intentionally pointing your kid to Jesus, this is one other way. Open the scriptures for 10 minutes once a week. Maybe you see your child, your grandkid even, once a week. What you're doing, this is a faith talk, and what it is you are opening up the scriptures, and you might say, I am not prepared to do that. Well, guess what? If you come to church and you take notes, you're already prepared, because what you can do is you can pick that text for the week. All right, so say it's Deuteronomy 6, and you can read through that with your kids, and then you can make it creative and make it fun. But you don't need to know everything, okay? That's not what it's about. It's not knowing all the answers, but it's encouraging you to take it a step further. Hey, here's this faith talk, and it has to be scheduled. It has to be written down, just like we schedule in our practices. We schedule in everything. This is something that extra, hey, for 10 minutes, and you're making it fun, all right? So that means, hey, we're going to go get milkshakes. Grandma and grandpas get to spoil the kids, and that's beautiful. So be intentional about setting that time aside and taking them somewhere fun and having a talk with them. But if you don't think about it, it's not going to happen, right? If we're not intentional about it, it's never going to happen. So this is just another way, having that faith talk with them. For us with Jessamine, we would not do this around pizza because she doesn't like pizza, right? So I am not going to be like, oh no, it's another faith talk night, we're having pizza, right? No, we're going to make it super fun for our kids. We're going to keep it simple, but it's going to be fun, all right? It's just one other thing that we're bringing our faith into our home. And maybe you're thinking right now, yeah, but Julie, my kids are out of the house and I didn't do this. Or now remember this, God is the one who is going to break into your kid's heart. It's not you. It's not you feeling like a failure, like, oh no, they haven't accepted Jesus. That's not your job, okay? Your job isn't to make your kids love God, because it can't happen. You can't force it. Our job as a parent, as a grandparent, as an aunt, as an uncle, as a member of this church, is to have open those opportunities for them and that point them to Jesus, okay? That is our job. But we cannot break into your kid's heart, and sometimes you just wish you can because you know it's just a heart issue, but you can't do that. So maybe your kids are out of the house. Here's something that I would encourage you to do. One is this: call them up. Tell them, I love you, because they need to hear that. I'm proud of you in a certain way. What are you proud of? And always end the conversation like this: how can I be praying for you? Maybe you already do that. And maybe you think that's really awkward because I don't do that. And Julie, that's forcing my religion on them. No, it's not. You're not forcing anything on them. You're asking them, how can I be praying for you? Right now you're showing them, I care about you. And one, I am going to pray for you. And then go and do it. And then maybe you have other kids in high school or middle school or whatever. You can ask them, how can I be praying for your friends? Because there you're going to be asking, hey, I'm finding out I do care about your friends and who you're hanging out with. And I'm going to find out what's happening in their lives too and how I can be praying for them. All right, so don't think ever that we're failing in this. But it's, again, all it boils down to are these points. Summary. Loving God. Are you loving him? Cultivating that relationship, that love. What can I do to love him more and keep him number one in my life? Nothing else but him. And then, two, are we being intentional about bringing faith into our home? Wherever you are, it's going to go with you. So right now, what's going to happen is I am going to show you a little video, because you know I do this talk every year, just to update you quickly about children's ministry and what's going on back there. But we'll let me sit for a little because I'm pregnant, and we'll watch this little slideshow. All right, so I'm going to go over this super quickly. If you don't mind getting out your purple insert just to look at it. What it is just a signing up, yes, to serve. And I am not up here to beg you to go back there. That is not what I'm here for. But I am telling you, when there's a need in our church family, this is definitely a need right now. And that's a great thing, right? Numbers are growing. There are lots of kids back there. So I just want you to look at that Wiggly worship sheet. It happens during the 9 o'clock hour. So hey, guess what? You could come early and you could go into Wiggly worship in some role and then come for the second service, maybe once a month, whatever it is. And you might think, I'm not a teacher, Julie. I don't enjoy teaching. I can't do that. Well, guess what? There are other options. Maybe it's being a walker. You just walk, because the setup for Wiggly worship is changing in September. Maybe it is just walking them to their next room. Maybe you want to be a snack leader. You set up your snack. You set it out. You pick it up. You put it away once a month. And the items are already there for you to do that. So there are several different ways. I'm not going to walk through them all. You can read them. You can see them. That is definitely a need in Wiggly worship. And again, this starts in September. So it's not like when you sign up, you're starting next week. You do have to go through a background check. It's easy. It's online. It's free for you. And you do have to go through a training. And again, if you're terrified of 0 and 1-year-olds, we're not going to put you there, okay? We'll put you where you fit, and we'll talk about that. You see, there's no ages on here. We're going to talk about that in email and communication with you, what age group you like best, because we want to put you where God has gifted you best, okay? So don't be afraid to do that, and you can do it as a couple. Go back together and do it that, hey, we're going to do this once a month, but don't sign up if you hate kids and you can't be committed. And when I mean committed, it's, hey, can I commit to this once a month? Doesn't mean, hey, I can't meet this week because my kid's throwing up or I'm sick. We get that. It's then you switch with someone else and you go that other week. Or, hey, I'm going to Florida. Okay, well, let's just switch with you. I'm gone 3 months. It's okay. We won't put you on the schedule for 3 months. So it's really, it's making it work for you, but it is that commitment, like, I just don't feel like showing up, so I'm not going. No. Don't sign up then. All right. And the back, there is a couple other opportunities. GLOW, you already saw the video before. This is an outreach program that we go into the schools, and you are a missionary going into those schools. If this is for you, you might be like, why am I already signing up? But yes, I'm interested in helping out because it helps us know how many volunteers we have, how many kids we can have, how we can set up GLOW for next year. And that training is not until September. And you can read more about it. Again, it's October through April, 1 day a week. And when there's Christmas break, you don't have it. When kids aren't in school, we don't have it. So that, you just check that if you're interested in that. And God's Masterpiece VBS. No, I haven't been clicking, have I? Yep, there we go. This year's theme is an art theme. All right, we really are telling the kids, you are God's masterpiece. He specifically made you and he loves you. Specifically. So that's what we're talking about for VBS, and you can see multiple ways to sign up with that. We never have enough, could have too much help in this area because there are a lot of kids who walk through that door, and that maybe it's just a specific thing that you can help with during that week. Please put that. And also in the back, there's a Vacation Bible School donation board. Maybe that's something you can help. Take 1, 2, 10 items with you, and you go and you get those items, and you bring them in under the board. And that really helps us with getting our items ready for Vacation Bible School. And at the bottom, there is another thing for youth ministry. I have a passion to work with junior high ministry. I have a passion to work with high school ministry. It's not saying you're signing up to do youth group. It's just saying, hey, we have it in the back of our heads. I could serve in this area, and that's where I think God wants me to be serving, is in junior high or high school. Right now, our needs definitely are in Wiggly Worship, GLOW, and Vacation Bible School, without a doubt. So I'm not here, again, to beg you for help. I just pray that God, if he is stirring in your heart, or you have a servant heart, and you're ready to go and try to help make disciples, because maybe you say, I'm not around kids. This is a perfect opportunity to do that, to get involved with our church family, and then come to the second service. So let's pray real quick, and then Justin will come on up and we'll sing. Lord, we just thank you for this, again, getting to be here and what you're doing in every single person's life in this room and how much you love them. And then continue to speak to them this day about how they can love you more. Pour your love out into them. Fill them with your spirit, Lord, that they will live a life worth living, and that's only with you, number one, in their life. Help us to be intentional about keeping our faith and taking it with us wherever we go. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take a moment to show Julie some appreciation for the bulletin. Good job. Good job. Yes. She talked to us today about family ministry, and family ministry starts with who I am ministry in a real way. That is Deuteronomy 6. First and foremost, before we teach our kids, God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not your kid's heart, not your grandparent heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And so our closing song today is really asking God with our hearts, create in me a clean heart, God. I want to love you all heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, start that work. Melt me, mold me, move me. I want to be yours. And so let's make this opportunity, our closing hymn, an affirmation for who we want to be in the sight of God. Stand as you're able, and let's sing together. Create in me a clean heart. Amen. You may be seated for just a second. We're going to pray through the benediction in a moment with God Made Us a Family. It's on the back of your message outline. But before I get there, just something with that song there. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I know one of the great dangers and stuff of sitting in this service, if I can just be blunt, we're not spring chickens, right? We're wondering how family ministry, we're talking about going home and passing the faith, applies to us when we see our grandkids, maybe not as frequently as we might like. We don't have the young children in the house. In that different way, how do I plug into to family discipleship in that way? As I was sitting in the back listening to Julie, it reminded me of my own faith journey in a real way. And I've shared this story with some of you before. There was an elderly man in our church. I grew up in a believing household. My parents had an impact. Don't mind you. There was a lot of hands that had an impact on my faith journey. But one of my most vivid first faith journey memories happened at a man in his early 90s, Fritz Linder, who had to walk with a cane. Mobility was not great. He would try to weave through the pews, holding onto the cane in one hand and holding onto the pew in the other. But each and every Sunday, he made it a point to single me out, to weave through those pews. He sat on the other side of the church than I sat on, because you know we all got our assigned seats, right? I sat on the other side as Fritz, and yet he made that attempt to get out of his seat, as hard as it was for him to get up, as lack of mobility as was, to shake my hand as a little young pipsqueak in the pew and hand me in his handshake a Werther's candy, butterscotch candy. You remember that. Helen Hellman, my first Sunday here, heard that story as I shared it with the SPRC, and following the service, she gave me a Werther's candy handshake in that way. There's small things that can communicate the care of a loving God, an infinite loving God, through small, even caring candy handshakes that we can do that help mold, shape, and form Christ in the kids of our church. Don't think that there isn't a way that we can impact kids or impact faith in our community just because our kids are out of the schools or grown up. This is our calling. This is our church with tons of kids that need tons of people pouring in care in little and big ways together. And so I encourage you, I invite you to look for opportunities because God has made us a family, which means we've got a lot of kids and grandkids connected to this family, connected to this church that need us pouring in their life. Amen.